welcome to episode 42 of the Nightlight Stories podcast, recorded on January 8th, 2012. This podcast tells one original story each episode that will light up the imaginations of children of all ages, anytime, anywhere. I am your host and narrator, Miss Mel. Hey everyone, are you wearing socks right now? You are? Super! Will you do something for me? Take off your socks and look between your toes. Do you see anything there? Story Toe Jam was written by Chris and Melissa Bouguet and will be narrated by Mr. Chris. As you listen to the story, consider the following. What kind of things do you collect?
Toe Jam by Chris and Melissa Bouguet. If you asked me why I did it, I really couldn't give you a good reason. Mom told me to get ready for bed because I had preschool in the morning. Trying to be a good listener, I went to my room, got undressed, and put on my pajamas. I pulled off my socks, and that's when I noticed it. In the cradle between my big and middle toes was a large piece of white fuzz. Curious, I swiped it out, looked at it, gave it a quick snifferoo, and then flicked it into the corner of my room. After that, every night when I removed my socks, I checked between my toes. Sure enough, every night I found little pieces of fuzz hiding there. Night after night, I flicked the little pieces of white lint into the corner. Sometimes the lint was different colors. Blue when I wore blue socks, black when I wore black socks, and red when I wore red socks. Although, it wasn't very often that I wore red socks. How could I have known that this would be the start of something really, really big? A few months later, I was playing with my friend Amir. We were building a garage out of blocks in my room when he noticed my collection in the corner. "What's that?" he asked, pointing to a pile of fuzz. "Oh, that's just my toe jam," I said. "You collect your toe jam?" he asked, as if it were a strange thing to do. "Of course," I said, "you don't." Not answering my question, he said, "Your pile is huge." I suppose I hadn't noticed just how big it had grown since I looked at it every day. It was about the size of a baseball. "What are you going to do with it?" my friend asked. "Nothing. Just keep it, I guess," I replied, stacking two blocks together and placing them in a yellow dump truck. "Maybe I'll start a collection too," my friend said. "You know, if I made a pile and you kept growing your pile, we could add our piles together and we'd have an even bigger pile." "Yeah, we could do that," I said. I wasn't exactly sure why we'd want to do that, but I wasn't exactly sure why I was keeping a big pile of toe lint in the corner of my room either, so I just went with it. As it turned out, it was a good idea. I guess some things are just meant to be. It wasn't long before all of my preschool friends were making their own toe jam collections. Amir told Dominic, Dominic told Elise, Elise told Kiara, and then Kiara told everybody else. On the last Friday of school before summer break, we all agreed to bring in our collections for show and tell. Miss Carmen was especially surprised that day, let me tell you. One after another, we pulled out our wads of toe jam and added it to the growing mass in the middle of the carpet for circle time. Amir was the last to add his pile, packing his part down with a few big whap, whap, whaps. When it was done, Miss Carmen picked it up and presented it to us. It looked like a tumbleweed you might see blowing across the desert in some old cowboy movie, except way more colorful. "The smell is impressive," Miss Carmen said, and we all beamed with triumph. "What are you going to do with it now that it's finished?" Miss Carmen asked. "But it isn't finished," I said. "We shouldn't stop collecting it until... I wasn't sure when we'd stop collecting our toe jam. "Until it can't fit in the room," Amir shouted. "Yeah," everyone said together. We all agreed to keep collecting our toe jam over the summer. I didn't realize that we'd keep the collection going a lot longer than that. I was in third grade when I realized my own personal collection was starting to take over my room. For the longest time, I was able to keep the fuzz wedged between the wall and my dresser. But, like drops filling a bucket, eventually things started to overflow. My own personal collection was about the size of a cow. In fact, my mom used to say that, even though it didn't moo like a cow, it sure smelled like one. Dad and I moved a chair out of my room to make space for the growing glob. Of course, with the chair gone, I needed some place to sit while I played video games. I'll give you three guesses as to where I sat, but you'll only need one. That's right, I'd wiggle my butt right into the toe jam. You'd be surprised just how comfy a collection of toe jam can be. It only took me another year to collect enough to make a small footrest. Amir kept his collection in his closet. Dominic kept his under his bed. Carla kept hers in the bottom drawer of her dresser. Everyone, all of my friends, kept their collection in different places in their own houses. Eventually, though, the toe jam would find a different home, all together in one place. For my 10th birthday, my grandpa gave me the Guinness Book of World Records. The book cataloged all of the things in the world that were the biggest. My grandpa always did have a funny way about him. He never told me exactly why he gave me the book. His birthday card simply read, "Happy birthday, I thought you might enjoy this." I have a feeling now that he meant for me to get a bee in my bonnet, which is exactly what happened. I devoured that book in one day, going into my room, shutting the door, and reading it from cover to cover. I read about how the world's biggest statue of a roadrunner was in Fort Stockton, Texas. I learned how the world's biggest block of cheese is located in Neillsville, Wisconsin. Did you know that Columbus, Indiana is home of the world's largest toilet? But it was when I read that the world's largest collection of nose hair was in Springfield, Illinois, that I got my great idea. The next day, I brought the book into school and showed Amir, who, as luck would have it, was in my fifth grade class that year. I told him what I was thinking, and he thought it was a great idea too. Amir started spreading the word, sharing it with everyone else. It didn't take long before the entire fifth grade and then the entire school knew the plan. By the end of the day, everyone was in. We were going to work together to make the world's largest collection of toe jam. There was no way I could have known that this would just be a stepping stone for bigger and better things. Sadie June, a girl in Miss Hollard's fourth grade class, asked her dad if we could keep the collection in the empty barn on their farm. Her dad was cool with it and gave us the go-ahead. It didn't take Amir long to organize a drop-off schedule. First graders dropped off their collections every day after school during week one, second graders during week two, third graders during week three, and so on. A handful of us were there every night after school to help with drop-off. Parents drove their kids up to the barn and unloaded bags of toe jam. The bags were of all different sizes. Those who had only just started collecting brought sandwich bags, while others brought grocery bags, while still others who'd been collecting since preschool brought garbage bags full of the fluff. Most parents were happy to participate, eager to rid their house of their child's growing collection. But we reminded everyone as they drove away that we'd be doing this once every 4 months and to keep the collections going at home until the next scheduled drop-off date. At the end of the first round of drop-offs, we looked at the huge mound we had collectively collected. It was an enormous pile of puffy fluff, but not as big as what was about to come. It was Lucas's mother who gave us the idea to make money from the toe jam. She was a reporter for the local television station, and when she dropped off Lucas's collection at the end of the school year, she asked if she could come inside the barn to take a look at our accomplishment. She asked us some questions, took a little video, and played it the following night on the news. During the interview, she asked us what we had planned to do with the toe jam once we received the world record. None of us really knew, but it got us all thinking. It was Lucas himself who came up with the idea. Amir went to work spreading the news, and I went to work planning. That August, we held the first annual Summertime Toe Jamboree. We sold tickets for admission, but the price was donation only. Some people paid $1 to get in, while others paid $10. People got to choose whatever they could afford. Some people didn't pay with cash at all. Instead, they opted to bring wads of their own toe jam to add to the pile. People had a blast at the jamboree. We had activities for people of all ages. For the little kids, we had a bounce house made out of, you guessed it, toe jam. We had toe jam fights for the bigger kids, which was like a snowball fight, except people threw handfuls of toe jam at each other. There were toe jam blowing contests, where the contestants would see who could keep a piece of fluff in flight the longest just by blowing it up in the air. A couple of local high school kids created a band, called the Toe Jammers, of course, and they came and played honky-tonk music in the background. We even had a little Miss Toe Jam pageant where the girls showed off their best talents using their own foot fuzz. We only had one accident the entire time. Little Bobby Joe Forrester got confused between the cotton candy he was holding in one hand and the wad of toe jam he had in the other. When he bit into the toe jam, his eyes crossed, his face turned all green, and he instantly began to cough. People said when he spit out the toe jam, he looked like a cat choking up a hairball. The culminating event of the festival was when a representative from Guinness came to present us with the world's record. All in all, the Jamboree was a huge success. We achieved our goal of a world's record, and we made quite a bit of money while we were at it. Our parents insisted that we keep some of the money for ourselves to help pay for our future educations, but mostly, we just gave the money to charity. It was a nice bit of scratch, too, but it wasn't half as much as we made from what happened next. As word spread about our accomplishments, the tourism industry picked up around our little town. Sadie's dad turned the barn into a museum of sorts and started charging people admission just to come in and take pictures with the stuff. As time tends to do, it marched on and we all got older. All the time we kept collecting the jam in our own rooms and making quarterly deliveries to the pile. Every year we organized a jamboree and our town became known as the place with the cleanest toes in the country. Sadie's dad took the revenue from the museum and built an extension on the barn to house the ever-growing piles. In a ceremony held at the park in the center of town, the mayor stood atop a giant gazebo and proclaimed our town, Bunyan, to be the toe jam capital of the world. He even had an official sign added to every street leading into town that read, "Welcome to Bunyan, home of the world's largest collection of toe jam." It was toward the end of my senior year in high school when I was approached by the Get Stuffed Stuffing Company. Mr. Hallux, CEO of the company, called me up as the proprietor of the toe jam. At our meeting, Mr. Hallux said he was prepared to buy the piles from us. He wanted to use it as padding for various products like sleeping bags, stuffed animals, pillows, and winter jackets. Mr. Hallux offered to pay for parts of our college educations and to set up a scholarship at our school so other students could have extra money to go to college in the future too. He even said he'd pay Sadie's father a bit as well, just for letting the trucks onto his property and to thank him for housing the stuff for so many years. Our parents left it up to us to make the final decision, but in the end, it was just too much money to pass up. We made our deal and asked Lucas's mother to do a follow-up story on the news explaining to the town what was to become of our beloved collection. I had mixed feelings about the whole transaction, but in the end, it all worked out for the best. It was a sad day in the town when they came to haul the toe jam away. Amir and I had our bags packed for college, finally ready to leave home, when we saw the cavalcade of yellow dump trucks coming down the street. Their beds were filled with mounds of grayish, reddish, brownish fuzz, tightly bound together, lashed with ropes. They drove slowly, making sure not a single chunk would fly off, lost to the wind. The behemoths inched their way down Main Street, right through the heart of Bunyan, and then past the city limits, carrying what made our town special right along with them. I'd be lying if I didn't tell you that I got a little choked up, seeing all our years of work disappear like that. Amir told me he felt the same way, dismal and downtrodden. We hoped we had made the right choice in deciding to sell. Then the most amazing thing happened. Bunyan burst into life. People of all ages came bustling out of their homes with sacks, baskets, cartons, and crates filled with more toe jam. I couldn't believe my eyes. Men and women, boys and girls, babies and elderly, came out of their homes carrying their containers filled with toe jam. In a coordinated effort, they marched through town, a joyous mob. Someone even started to chant, "Bunyan's here, never fear, we keep our toe jam near. Bunyan's here, never fear, we keep our toe jam near." And before long, everyone joined in. As if we were kids back in preschool, Amir and I squealed in delight at the sight of so many smiling faces. We ran outside together to join the collection of people who had amassed to replace what had been removed from them. The convoy of people moved through the streets until they reached the giant gazebo in the park in the middle of town. people formed a bunch of little conveyor lines encircling the center of the park. The people in each line worked diligently to pass the containers of toe jam forward. When a container reached the head of the line, that person threw the jam into the collective pile. Every so often, a person would yell out, "One step back!" And like one giant organism, the crowd would move back as the pile expanded. It took the rest of the day and into the night for the town to finish unloading everything they had collected. Despite all my years of building the collection and hosting jamborees, I never saw so many people come together to support something they believed in so strongly. I'd even say it was a true happy ending, except it wasn't the end. In the months and years that followed, the town continued to grow their collection. To this day, Bunyan remains the toe jam capital of the world, with residents who are proud of their passion for the little flakes of fuzz that get stuck between their toes. As for Amir and I, we went on to college together and became roommates. During our first week, I made an incredible discovery. I was drying off after a shower when I found a giant piece of lint peeking out of my belly button. I gave it a yank and inspected it. It was a ball of swirling color that must have been growing there for weeks, collecting from the different shirts I'd worn. I showed Amir, who immediately dug his finger into his own belly button. Sure enough, he discovered his own bulbous blob of stray fabric. He looked at me. I looked back at him, smiled, and said, "Let's do it."
Enjoyed the story, we would like to send out bright birthday wishes to Lynn M. of Massachusetts, Dana V. of the Northwest, Heidi G. of South Dakota, Jake of South Dakota, McBain of Virginia, Ryan M. of Virginia, Robert P. of Virginia, Lily P. of West Virginia, Kate G. of Maryland, Colton G. of Maryland, Heather E. of Virginia, Terry D. of New Hampshire, Melanie K. of Massachusetts, Kathy L. of Massachusetts, and John L. of Massachusetts. We really appreciate your encouraging comments. I wanted to take a minute and share a few with you we received the past month that put a big smile on my face. Amy L. wrote us and said, "We listened to Inky's Christmas tonight. I was laughing so hard at the sound effects that I had tears running down my face. Yes, I have a very mature sense of humor." Thanks, Amy. We're glad you enjoyed it. Kim M. wrote in and said, "So I burned 2 CDs full of Nightlight stories, and the kids listen to them all the time. They switch them out, too. We love Nightlight stories." Thanks, Kim M. We love you guys, too. Thank you so much for the comments. We really appreciate it. Come join us on our Facebook page if you haven't already. You can also find us on Twitter at Nightlight08. As always, we look forward to watching the glow grow brighter with the many stories we can share together.